We'd like to perhaps, while we're waiting for Stephen Mayne, who's apparently suffering some kind of delay getting into the studio, I think we might have him. It's a miracle. Good morning, Stephen Mayne.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Stephen. Stephen Mayne, just to bring you all up to square one with him, is a shareholder activist, the founder of crikey.com.au, and a regular commentator here on Business Intrigue. Is that the way to put it, Stephen?
I think intrigue at the moment, yes. With this global credit crunch, it's a remarkable situation. Never seen anything quite like it at the moment.
Well, it seems to have involved the ANZ now.
Well, that's right. The front pages of the papers today, credit crunch really does go mainstream in Australia with ANZ announcing an extra $363 million in bad debt provisions, $240 million of which relates to a US insurance company which stands behind corporate loans and subprime loans and the like in the US. So whilst we constantly hear the refrain that Australian banks are strong, Australian financials are strong, we don't have subprime exposures, drip by drip, we keep getting these revelations that there are sort of links in roundabout ways. And this is the biggest one so far, in ANZ saying we are actually going to make a provision against our profit of $240 million.
Now, because it's not the only one, as you alluded to.
Oh, well, look, the victim list is now getting quite large. I mean, for instance, Deborah, there's one that doesn't get a lot of mentions in the press, but it's a Macquarie Bank hedge fund called Macquarie Fortress, and it has a similar exposure, if you like, to the ANZ, in that it raised $140 million from Australian investors. It then used that money to buy $1 billion worth of corporate loans in the US. And it has destroyed virtually all of that money. It's the value of those notes that were listed on the stock exchange have fallen by 90%. So even the great Macquarie Bank, which people keep sort of saying is impregnable and is so strong, even it has a vehicle listed on the Australian Stock Exchange which has literally blown up 90% of its value. So what's happening here is the resale value of loans, particularly in the US, is plummeting. It's just very difficult to sell loans. And this was ANZ's problem, is that they basically insured a bunch of loans in the US that were taken out by a group of investment bankers. And they said to themselves, well, we've stood behind these loans, we better buy ourselves some protection. So they've insured themselves against any losses on these loans with one of these companies called ACA Capital, which is a monoline insurer. And because this insurer is looking like it might go broke, ANZ has basically had to say, well, we haven't got any insurance on our loans, the value of these loans is plunging in the market, we've got to take a profit provision. So this revelation yesterday came as a complete shock to Australian investors, and hence the value of the ANZ Bank fell by 6% in one day. The value of all our big banks fell by almost $10 billion, and we're now looking at a collective haircut in the value of the big four banks of almost $60 billion so far this year, which
Stephen, is quite
staggering.
It is interesting that the subprime thing seems such a far cry from where we are, you know, subprime trouble in the US. I wonder how it affects the confidence that ordinary bank customers have in their banks. Should we worry? Is our money safe?
Well, it's an interesting question because Australia has, I would argue, the strongest banking system in the world. And we also have the world's most expensive banking system. In other words, our banks charge us so much, particularly in fees, that they make $20 billion a year in profits. And because we still have a housing bubble that has sustained itself, there isn't a lot of risk on the $850 billion of mortgages taken out against Australian houses. Now, the difference with Australia and the US is the US have had a housing crash, like nothing we've seen since the 1929 crash. So that is what has triggered the massive crisis in the US. But I simply say to you, Deborah, have a look at the UK, where overnight the British government has nationalised the first bank in more than 100 years. They've taken over Northern Rock, and British taxpayers have taken on liabilities of about $250 billion Australian dollars. And that has caused or precipitated a fairly sharp fall in UK property prices as well. So if it can happen in the US and if it can happen in the UK, it is a very fair question to say, could it happen here? And to an extent, the risk of this has been priced in because we've seen our banks fall by 25% since their peaks in November. But I guess the one key difference I'd say to you here is the mining boom and the fact that we're at full employment. And even yesterday we had Nippon Steel agreeing to 65% increase in iron ore prices. This will lead, when it flows through, will lead to an extra $30 billion in export income for Australia. And we have an undersupply of houses and we have close to full employment. So as long as we have those three dynamics of full employment, and particularly the mining boom and these incredible price increases, that will protect us in a sense from the similar chaos we've seen, particularly in or what the ANZ chief executive Mike Smith described as a bloodbath in London and New York banking circles.
Well, it does though put a huge amount of pressure on those managers at those banks to curb what might be, you know, the risky and apparently endless assault on the summit of profits. It just, you know, there's a lot driving these decisions that in the end look like bad management decisions to make investments in things that go shaky.
Well, I think that there has been a lot of, particularly the financial engineers, the smartest guys in the room who come up with these incredibly complex structures and make a huge amount of money on it. The likes of MFS and Babcock and Brown, even Centro, the real estate company, was into all sorts of complex structuring. So I think at the end of the day, what you had here was $1 trillion of Australian super and basically a group of smart fund managers who said, we will provide all sorts of structures to tap into this huge amount of money, this $1 trillion of super, which is compelled to go in there by our laws. And they got too clever by half, and we had a four-year global credit boom where anyone could borrow as much as they want. So you had the likes of Macquarie Bank borrowing up to $150 billion across its empire and at cheap rates. And now those who weren't so smart are basically getting caught. And I think the big story in Sydney, so it's interesting how each state has almost got one. We've got Centro down here in Melbourne. Queensland's got MFS, and the really big Sydney story is Orco Finance Group, which has engulfed a number of Sydney's business luminaries, with people like Bob Mansfield on the board and Sir Rod Eddington on the board. And basically, it's been suspended for more than a week. It's grappling with about $10 billion of debt across its various funds and the corporate structure. It's in crisis talks with its banks. So the Commonwealth Bank have sent in the corporate undertakers. And
corporate undertakers. Results. No gloomier bunch on earth, I would say, than the corporate undertaker.
No, exactly. You know you're in trouble when you're getting strategic advice from a firm that is known to take out burials on companies. And the Commonwealth Bank has sent
in... They go to sleep hanging upside down with their, you know, wings folded over their eyes, I think.
That's right. So, it's an amazing situation with Orco. I mean, it is David Coe, huge benefactor to the arts, lives in a $20-25 million mansion in Vaucluse. One of his other directors, Gordon Fell, paid $30 million for a Point Piper mansion last year. These guys are on the rich list. Their values have been as high as $300-400 million. They wanted to buy Qantas. Orco led the team that was going to buy Qantas. And the great irony now is that a number of its partners in that Qantas bid, notably Macquarie Bank and Texas Pacific, are actually now circling the carcass, attempting to negotiate to buy parts of this sprawling empire, which ran out of Sydney, includes ownership of 41 planes, 20 huge ships, rail stock, power stations in the US, property assets all over the world. So a big sprawling empire, all built on debt, and now unravelling at a great rate of knots.
Now, of course, not unravelling are many other companies. It's a big day for profits.
It is. It's funny. We've got this situation at the moment where we've got this global credit crisis, yet you've got Australia with a strong economy and full employment and a corporate sector which overall is in a healthy shape. But you've had the market so jittery that companies as diverse as JB Hi-Fi and the Commonwealth Bank have been reporting, you know, solid increases in profit and seeing their shares cut by, you know, 6% and even up to 20%. So the market is very, very nervous about any profit figures falling slightly short of the mark. And today we've got the likes of Foster's and One Steel, our biggest steel company, APN, the media company, AXA, Seek, Newcrest, our biggest gold miner. So by the end of today, we'll have a pretty clear picture of where the profit season is. And by the end of the week, we'll have most of the major companies having reported. And the biggest question on everyone's lips is always, what's your debt position and when do you need to refinance?
Because that it sounds like my life.
Well, it's my life as well. I mean, I'm going into debt at the moment, trying to support my shares. So, yeah, when you've got $1 trillion of household debt and you've got $600 billion of foreign debt, which both are pretty uncomfortably high, and corporate sector with a lot of debt-funded aggressive structures, particularly by the financial engineers, as Centro told us in bold terms, you can't try and refinance large amounts of debt in this market. So the big question for companies is, you know, what's your debt? Do you need to sell assets? And we'll have a clear picture of that by the end of the week.
Stephen Mayne, it's always terrific. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Deb.